Thank you, my friend. Thanks, guys. Grab your chairs. Wow. Well, well. Here we are. Yeah, David said I was this man of faith, and I was sitting there thinking, no, about 15 minutes ago, I had no faith at all. I've been saved since 95. I don't know any time where I couldn't perceive any faith at all in my heart. And Tracy ran over yelling when Jordan was preaching, and she tapped me and said, you're going to have to help settle me down. And I had no faith. I couldn't find any faith in my life. She said, you're going to have to help calm me down. And I went, and I had no faith. So I'm completely bankrupt. I thought, this is not going to be good. I feel like I have no faith. Just had to say that and share that. No, stay. She said, something happened to my faith with the weather. And I was sitting there thinking, I don't even have any faith. Then David gets up and says, this man of faith. And I'm like, no. She asked me to calm her down, and I was like, what? It's not possible. Yeah, but Dan, all things are possible to them that believe. No, it's not possible. That's what happened to me. Are you all okay? This is a very different place if you're visiting. Who's visiting? Oh, Lord Jesus. Just love you guys. I feel compassion for you guys. It's the only place in the world that you can go preach for 7 o'clock service and you get the mic at 8:55. The only place in the world. Usually by 8:55, people are trying to wind down. And they just giving me the mic. And they're all wound up, can you tell? So if you're visiting, I am so sorry. No, I'm glad you're here. Oh my goodness, we don't have to be crazy long. It's just going to be fun. So it's just always fun here. The show me your face thing you guys did, wow. That's actually a bedroom song of mine. I've sang that a lot of times when nobody was around. See, now I'm emotional. Woo, see, that's real. Wow. He's not a theology. He's not a storybook. He's the living God, and he's a father, and he's real. And man, he wants you to pursue him. He wants you to draw near to him. He wants you to know him. There's so many lies out there that try to keep people from going after God. Why they can't, why he won't meet them, why he might not love them. None of it's true. He sent his son, guys. Like, that's radical. Jesus had to come through the womb of a woman, go through her birth canal and be born of a woman and come as a man to fulfill what man failed, to do it as a man. That's intense. This isn't just a Bible story. It's not Christmas baby in a manger thing. It's God made flesh. He's a father. He made us for a reason. That reason seemingly got lost, but never got lost with God. Got lost with us. And Jesus came. He came to his own. He got so lost with us that Jesus came to his own and his own knew him not. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him, but yet he came to his own and his own knew him not. That's perversion. Truth himself talked for years and they killed him for his words. That's perversion. That's deception. That's arrogance and pride. That's blindness. Truth himself is speaking for years right in front of them and they kill him for his words. But he still came and he didn't change. His love never failed. He died and he rose again. It's powerful. The Show Me Your Face song, very intimate to me, very personal. I got touched when you started singing it. It's hard to talk about it. You want those kind of realities in your life that you get alone and you close the door. You're one of two things. You're either out of your mind and you're wasting your time and you probably should get a hobby. Or he's real and he'll meet you there. I like those odds. It's one or the other. Yeah? So don't get antsy. Don't get distracted. Don't let anything talk you out of being with him. I'm going to go as far as to say this. This is a narrow phrase and statement, but I believe being with him is the reason that he came, so we could be with him again. And in being with him, we can be transformed back into his image and live what he created and intended man to be. Everything that got lost was restored. This thing is relational. It's intimate. It's personal. It's not intellectual. It's not Bible knowledge. It's knowing him. Eternal life is knowing him. You get alone, you sit on a bed, you shut a door, you shut everything off, shut everything off, shut your phone off, and just shut everything off, and you just start to sing something like, show me your face, and nobody in the room, just you, in faith, believing he's there. Do you see how precious that is? Like, just start singing something like that. You're talking to him a little bit, you open the word, you thank Holy Spirit he's here, he's with you. He's teaching, he's showing, your eyes open up. I can't explain this because so many people go into that place looking, they say for an encounter, they're looking for feelings. They're looking to get vibrated. They're looking to get woo. But I'll tell you, the greatest thing you'll get in those places is knowings, the knowings. People say, you're so passionate. I can't help passion. There's knowings in my life. I'm not trying to figure certain things out. I'm not trying to wrap faith around certain things. I know them. I see them. I get it because I've been with him. You understand what I mean? Like knowing he loves you, knowing you're forgiven, knowing you're righteous, knowing you're accepted in the beloved. Knowing that. So many people, they draw close and they draw back. They go back and forth. They live up and down. You got to get alone, close the door, and just be with him. Just be with him. He will establish your heart in that place if you'll have childlike faith to go in there. You sing something like, show me your face. There's a lot of personal songs. I don't even share that stuff from the pulpit. That's my time. Because then people will try to sing them songs. Get your own song. He ain't singing my song. Get your own song. Go get another song. No, you can get that song. That was your song. But if I share them songs from the pulpit, people that love and honor and respect me, they'll be all singing them songs. Get your own songs. Stuff that moves your heart, touches your heart. Who's ever heard a scripture and it just grabbed you different than other scriptures have grabbed you, and it felt alive to you, even though you believe all scripture's alive, but all of a sudden you heard something and it just grabbed you in a certain way, it ministered to you. That's something you take home, you meditate on, you close the door, you camp there, you stay there till your heart goes, yeah, till you see it. Yeah? Yeah. I know this, he's so faithful and he's so good. He said, if you'll seek him, you'll find him. And if you draw near, he will draw near to you. And he said, when you pray, don't you just pray in the open, in public, in corporate settings. When you do all these things, don't just do it in the corporate setting. Get alone, get in secret. See, in the corporate setting, you have whatever you have in the corporate setting. That's your complete reward. You get your reward in full in that setting. And then some people, they live for that setting. You don't find your identity in the gathering. Find your identity in him. And that makes the gathering amazing. The gathering is amazing when you find your identity in him. I just promise you this. I assure you this. There's a lot we could preach on this. But I just assure you this, that you have access to him through the name and blood of Jesus. If your heart wants to know him, you have the right to get to know him. Don't let anything talk to you. The yell but is a lie. I promise it's a lie. He made a way when there was no way. When we were yet sinners, he sent his son. Yeah? We were alienated. We were enemies. Colossians 1, our minds were working in wicked manner, yet he reconciled us through the death of his son. Come on. You cannot talk me out of this. We have access to him. Yeah, but you don't know. Stop. You have access to him. And that thing that's telling you can't go be with him is the very lie that's trying to keep you. That's that thing trying to keep you from ever knowing. ever knowing. Still being a part, still attending, still serving, never knowing. You know what happens when you never know? You'll find your identity through all the things you're doing. Ugh, such a lie. This scripture's on my heart, and I'm still trying. I'm like, I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'll mess up. I got to go to the scripture. It's been on my heart for a while here through worship. And I don't totally know how it's fitting into where I'm at right now. So that's why I'm having fun, like, with my own self, thinking, what are we doing? You see, this guy's not even prepared. I guess we'll find out. Go to Galatians 6 with me. I'm just going to obey and just trust this. See, here's the deal. Everybody's life is so important and valuable, but we haven't believed that growing up, have we? Come on, that hasn't been true in society. You got people that are in, people that are out. You got misfits. There's no such thing as a misfit. There's just people with wrong understanding, and the wrong understanding leads to wrong conduct. Then they get judged and stereotyped for their actions. But none of that has anything to do with their created value, their destiny, and God's purpose. See, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do carries a lot of weight. Jesus hanging on the cross, saying, forgive them. They don't know what he's saying. They're blind. They're lacking understanding. They have no clue who they are, and that's why they're acting the way they are. That's why they're living the way they are. And God's mercy and compassion understands that there's blindness on the souls of men. That if men could actually see, like if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He's saying if men could actually see, Paul said that he was anointed to preach the gospel to make all see. Are you with me? Come on, it's very powerful. So God's love and God's mercy is way bigger than all that stuff that we've been stuck in. See, some people even, like when I look at the cross, when I look at the crucifixion, when I look at the garden, when I look at the Pharisees and the way they talked and acted, when you look at Judas and you just keep backtracking and look at the whole story, it looks like they knew what they were doing. It said some believe but didn't come out with their belief because they love the praises of men rather than God. It sounds like they knew, but yet Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know. And if Jesus said that, there was things they didn't know. What's he saying? If they saw clear, they'd be living different. Their decisions would be different. They would look different. Their life would be different if they saw. The eye is the lamp of the body. Don't ever forget that. What we don't know is destroying us. In all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4. Do you hear the scriptures? Why? Because of this thing we're talking about. And God's mercy and God's love is amazing. God knows what we'll look like if he's in us and we're surrendered. He said that's worth paying for. Now, I promise you this. There's not a person with lesser value in this room than another. It's impossible that you have. Now, I'm talking about in Christ. I'm talking about your created value. Here's why. Because every one of us are predestined to walk in the light. Every one of us are called to walk in love. Every one of us are called to live by the Spirit. But because we've lived so many different things, we have a scale of value. Here's the simple way you know everybody's worth the same. The same price was paid for every person. Now, you don't say pay the same price for things that don't have the same value. You don't buy a little bottle of shampoo and then go over and get your TV and walk out with the same price. The blood of Jesus was shed for everyone, and everyone is purchased by the same price. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We all cost him the blood. Why? We all have the same created value. We look different. We talk different. We like different things. different speeds, different volumes. There's so much diversity in this room, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. There's so much diversity. But in that diversity, we find true, amazing unity, because in all those differences, we live for the same reason. In all those differences, we have the same goal, to grow up into Him in all things, to walk in the light as He's in the light, to walk in love just as, Ephesians 5:1, just as, not somewhat like, walk in love just as Jesus loved. Are you with me? Come on, it's fun. Jesus said, through shedding His blood and buying us out with the blood, He said to my heart, when I look at Scripture, everybody has the same value. And how much time have people spent trying to fit in, feeling like they don't fit in, low esteem, self-conscious, fear of man, because we haven't found ourselves in Him. We haven't identified in Him. We can go to church and you're still finding yourself through you and through others. You still need somebody to acknowledge you or to like you or to say something nice. I don't know what this sounds like, Jesus hanging on a cross. See, this is why I don't like handhelds. I can't even be on a cross right now. I just got one hand. I just got one hand. I don't like these handhelds. No, I'm all right. No, stay where you're at. That's your boundary. Are you guys all right? We'll believe for Tracy. But are we all right? Are you all right? No, it's true. See, all the things that you really look that we've struggled with here and there and at large, there's total opposite truth behind that thing when you look at the gospel, when you look at Jesus. He wants to save you out of that thing, get you out of darkness into the light. See, we were brought up, and I've preached this 1,000 times over. It's probably all over YouTube, but it's just the truth, and people need to hear it. We were brought up in a lie. We were trained by lies. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. It was false. It wasn't true. The mentality, the motives, the persuasion, the purpose, the reason for being, the why behind our lives. It was all self-centered. It was all survival-driven. It was all self-focused. It was all about me getting something for me. Needing people for me. Needing to be okay. Needing to be valued. Needed to be protected. Needed to be supported. Needed to be important. People are still looking for that today. You can look for that in the church just the same as if you don't know Jesus. You can look for that in ministry, in your gifting. You can look at that through your gifts, your talents. You can just look to get a name for yourself instead of manifest His great name and bring glory to His great name, to walk in love and bring glory to His name. The Bible talks about your body. He talks about sexual stuff in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6. And then He says, so glorify God in your body. Why? Because it's all His. He made you for a reason. And then He sent His Son to pay the price to get that reason back. And that's what nobody ever preached to me growing up. They just told me I was a sinner, I needed forgiven, and if Jesus comes, I need to be in the right boat. I need to be going to heaven. And it was all about me getting something from Him instead of teaching me who I am in Him. And nobody taught me. Now, see, now I'm a madman. I believe it. Believe it. Just remember, they gave me the mic at 8:55. Now be gentle. It's purpose restored. It's identity restored. But see, you got to put off the old. You've got to. You can't take this lightly. You can't bring the old way of thinking, the old identity, the old status quo of value and importance that you carried. You got to call it all dead. You can't bring any of that into something new. You can't bring the old in. You can't bring the same old attitude. You can't bring the same old motive. You can't say, well, they didn't. Well, they shouldn't have. Well, that hurt. Come on, that just stops the kingdom of God in your life right there. It's just still all about you. You got feelings and preferences. You got lines that can be crossed, and you got chips that can be knocked off. And if you're touchy, you're going to be touched. You can't bring the old into something new. It's new life through Jesus Christ. When you see that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it literally reveals, you've heard this taught before, but it's there, it's true. It's a species of being that hasn't existed before. It's something new. You can't bring the old in the new, but I don't think we spend enough time. We're just trying to get people to believe they're forgiven. That they're not condemned, that they don't need to be ashamed and guilty. Because once you care, then you care. And Satan tries to misalign your care and get it to produce a negative instead of the kingdom. See, you can't condemn a person that's not alive inside. That's what we don't understand. See, when I see somebody struggling with condemnation, the part I'm excited about is that you can work with them. They're alive inside. You can't condemn somebody that doesn't care. A whatever person ain't condemned. They're whatever. So you got to teach people the fact that you've been crying means you have purity in you. You're just processing it wrong, and you're coming out negative instead of alive. Come on, Jesus will wake things up in you, and all of a sudden you're crying over something you didn't care about. Well, the fact that you're crying means you ought to come clean. You ought to just like picture the waterfall, the blood, just come, just walk through that thing. Cry, woo! You ought to get that at Redemption House. You know, you'd be doing that. Woo! Oh! Come on, you get that here. I can preach that and get away with it. But what do we believe? So see, you're putting on something new. It's not just forgiving the sins and taking away the shame and trying to blot out some memory. You watch, you shouldn't even be threatened by memories. We don't. Your memories don't go away. You can remember things from before. You think you're not free if you can remember. You're not free if you believe your memory. Your memory can actually be a blessing when you flip the coin and look at the memory in redemption, in righteousness. Every time you get the memory, declare that your heart's changed, that you're not the same person. God, I so appreciate you put something new in me. Wow, God, I remember when I was so lost, but that stuff's not even in my heart anymore, and you're having a flashback. You think a flashback means ministry and prayer. No, I think a flashback means worship and thank you, Jesus, and declaration and put on Christ. See, if the enemy's going to come and give you a flashback, you ought to overcome him with truth. We all have the same value. We all have the same value. Come here, real quick. Just help me quick. So if I came down here on a regular basis like I do at least once a year, but you know me now, so I'm a friend in the house, right? You ain't getting us mixed up, right? Like, you ain't calling him Dan. You ain't been calling him Dan. And then you ain't been calling me him and saying, wait a minute, I get you two so messed up. Do we look anything alike? Could you ever get us mixed up? So we don't look anything alike. But we can both look just like him. We can both walk in the light. We can both walk in love. We can both show mercy. We can both pursue and make peace. We can both have kindness and patience. We can both live by the Spirit. Watch. We both cost the same because we both have the same exact value. The same exact value. Are you with me? So I got to read this. It's pressing me for some reason. We're going to have to read this. This isn't a scripture I would choose to read, but it'll make sense to us. When you get born again, it's very important to fill your heart with the word, to fill your heart with truth. It's almost safe to say everything you used to believe, you just need to flip that thing 180. Used to believe my life didn't matter much. Wrong. Used to believe I don't matter. Wrong. Used to believe I have no real reason for living. Wrong. That's why everybody's been believing those things. Because there's an enemy out there trying to suppress the truth and the kingdom of God and keep us under that press. And then we take life personal. Why is all this happening to me? Where have you been, God? God, I thought you loved me. And now we're having some accusation towards the only good thing and the only answer out there. Satan's just slithering like a snake in the grass. Oh, there they go again. That self-centered thing gets them every time. You know what he said in the book of Job? He said, Job ain't like no different than anybody else, God. God said there's no one on the earth like Job. If God said that, then there ain't nobody on the earth like Job. It's not even up for discussion. But the devil in scripture arrogantly just quipped right back and said, Job different than everybody else? What? Now he's going to do some reasoning. But it gives away what he believes about you and me. Well, if the devil's going to give away what he believes about you and me and God's going to record it in his word, we better make sure he's never right. Because here's what he believes. He said, Job ain't no different than anybody else. What do you mean he's righteous and upright and perfect and all this stuff? He's just like any other man. The only reason he appears to be that way, because you hedged him in, protected him, made him fat in the land. You blessed this man through and through. On every side, he is blessed by the hand of the Lord. And you blessed him, so he's simply blessing you. You take away all them blessings. You tear down that hedge and take away all that stuff. Watch. He will curse you to your face just like every other man. What's he saying? Can I paraphrase what he's saying? He's saying, cut me a break, man. People don't love you. People don't love you. They need you. And if you do them right, they'll seem to do you right. You do them wrong, they'll turn on you like, people don't love you, they need you. You know what men are. You saw what I've done to them from the beginning. They're all like me. That's what he's saying. He's saying as soon as their life gets a little tough, as soon as they go through a couple challenges, and then you got challenge on top of a challenge. Now you got a challenge on top of a challenge on top of a challenge. All of a sudden, it's what about me? And where have you been? And what door did I open? And why are you allowing? And it's exactly where everybody rolls. And they don't even understand the war we're in, that the enemy comes for the word's sake, and he's here to keep the kingdom of God from manifesting in your life. And we're making it about us and what we feel and what we're going through and how it's been, and we're barely hanging on, and keep me in prayer. And we're calling that Christian. Come on, somebody got to talk about this straight. Got too many good-hearted people that mean well, getting deceived, destroyed by the lack of knowledge. Caught up in what they're going through instead of caught up in what he's been through, because that's where you find the real you. What he went through is where you put on identity. That's where you're accepted in the beloved. That's where you have a new purpose in life. You know, you're made for God's image, and God told us to be built up in the knowledge of his son and put on that new man. He's renewed in knowledge. It's Colossians 3, verse 10. He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, and the life of Jesus that was given was to restore us back to what God intended, the manifestation of God on the earth through people. You know, the glory of God is very well and very easily defined as any manifest, made, seen, or realized attribute of God. The glory of God is anything where God's revealed, the person of God, the attributes of God. Who God is revealed. That's the glory of God revealed, made manifest and made seen. right? So man is his crowning creation in glory. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. What's he talking about? The manifestation of God. Where? Through us, through our lives. See, and if you're not careful, you just buy into trying to get blessed, get provided for and protected. You're protected when you surrender. You're protected when all that is yours is his and you're walking out covenant. You're protected when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah? You're protected when you're about the Father's business and living the will of God. That's when you're free, that's when you're fulfilled, and that's when you're protected. When you just live in him. You know why people don't love their life? Because they're not living their life for why they're here. You're living your life outside of your created value. People say life's a grind, life is tough. Well, you know, life is. The only reason you believe that, I'm not saying there's not circumstances and things, but I don't even know if calling them challenges is correct. Because it's never about you. Your goal is to manifest what he looks like in every moment that you live. Come on. Every situation you're ever in, what's he look like in you? What's he look like through you? It ain't what you're going through. Come on, our language gives us away. Well, you don't know what I've been going through. No, you just gave it away. You have a very self-conscious, self-focused mentality, and you're trying to bring Jesus into your world so it works better. Instead of you stepping into his world. See, people say life is tough. Like, no, you're living life outside of why you're here. There's no grace on that. There's no empowerment. That's why it feels so hard. Are you with me? Very, 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 very important that we understand this stuff. Okay. Brethren, if a man, verse 1, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Not, what are you doing, man? Teaching people who they are. One of the greatest tools Holy Spirit ever gave me as a pastor when people were really messing up bad was to sit them down and begin to teach them who they really are. It's the principle he shared in Ephesians 5. Wives, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you at the same time. And I'm not going to give your husband an excuse. Your husband should be convicted in this if this fits. It says if a husband loves his wife, it's because he loves himself. Now watch, if a husband ain't loving his wife because the wife ain't secure in Christ and doesn't know her identity in Christ and she's trying to get something from her husband, it ain't coming, she ain't getting it. Now she got issues because now she got to lead, he can't lead, he ain't loving her. What's wrong with me? I thought I was lovable. He said he loved me. How come he ain't love me? Wow, he thinks I'm hot. This guy thinks I'm hot. He ain't your husband. But you think, yeah? And he's saying to me what he ain't never said to me, and that just makes me feel good, and maybe I just messed up when I made the decision. Maybe I married the wrong one. If a man is loving his wife, it's because he loves himself. And a spiritual wife, a Christian wife, understands and says, oh my goodness, my husband doesn't know who he is. He can't love me because he doesn't love himself. He has insecurity. He has unbelief. He's got wrong identity. And the wife could actually have mercy rising up in her and begin to love the Christ up and out of him. Instead, if she ain't that, she's just taking it personal and she's getting hurt and his deficit is creating lack in her. So now she's thirsty trying to drink out of a dry cup. That's why she's thirsty. But there's this one over here that's a well springing up. And he said, if you'd have asked me, I'd give you one drink. I'll just give you one drink. Just one drink. Just one drink. And you ain't never, ever gonna thirst again. He ain't talking about thirst. He's talking about identity. He's talking about knowing who you are. If you just let me show you who you are, if you find yourself through me, you'll never look there again. And you won't be hurt by him. You won't be lonely. You won't be disappointed. You won't believe you're failed. And you won't be attracted to somewhere you ain't getting. If a man loves his wife, so let's take that principle. Am I doing injustice to the word? I don't think so. That principle goes the whole way across relationships. So if you can't love people, you don't say, why? Why? Greatest law. Greatest law. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Second is like it. You can hang all the law and the prophets on these two. These two sum up the whole deal. Love God with everything you are. Watch. And love your neighbor as your, do you see how important it is to know who you are? Because if you're loving your neighbor as yourself and you don't love yourself, you ain't loving your neighbor. You're nitpicky, fault-finding, guilty, ashamed. You're living with insecurity and identity crisis. Then you see what's wrong with everybody else. You don't see their purpose and their potential. It's actually a relief valve. You say, wow, I ain't the only egg in the basket. Wow, they got issues too. Wow, they just, oh, look, see, they said that. And they going to church, holy, holy. Yeah, right. But that's because that's how you see yourself. See, when you see yourself in Christ and through Christ, then you have clear eyes to see every human being. It's actually, people might not understand this, but it's the only reason I do what I do. The only reason I fly and travel all over the place and do what I do is because I believe every word I'm preaching. I believe you're worth that much. I believe it's true. I believe if you'll put it on, it'll transform your life and shine light into your spheres of influence. It's not a way of living. I'm not doing this so that I can, you know, live high on the hog and everybody's so into me. Look on YouTube. You can't even find anywhere to partner with me. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm not building anything. I'm proclaiming something. I fought this man a lot on giving to me, haven't I? And then so he just mails it to church. He's bad boy. I forget how many years I came down here saying, ain't taking nothing, ain't taking nothing. It was eating him up a little bit. He talked to me about it a couple times. You got to take something. We'll just mail it to church. I said, I'll mail it back. I'll add to it and mail it back. I had a pastor get hard with me on it. He said, we'll just send it right. We'll just mail it to you. I said, well, pastor, you better be serious because I'm here not to take anything this weekend. Well, I don't know why God would. And he tried to give me three different giving sermons. I said, you send it. I'm going to add to it and send it back. He said, well, then I'll just add to it and send it back. I said, well, keep going then, and we'll wait till it gets to about a half a million and see who's serious. I'm just messing with you. Well, I felt like we were two little kids in school. I'll mail back. Well, I'll just mail back. You're going to love your neighbor. Do you hear the encouragement and the call to have healthy identity in that scripture? You're going to love your neighbor as yourself? Do you know how many people, maybe in this room, don't think real good when they look in the mirror? And all they see is yesterday. All they see is what was done wrong to them. All they see is what they've done wrong. All they remember is their childhood. All they remember is how their and their dad was supposed to and their mom should have, and she couldn't. Boy, I must be. And now you got this eternal mark, you think, over you because your own mother couldn't love you. Well, that's a reflection of your own mother. Here's Christ hanging on the cross saying, wrong, stop looking to her for truth. Look to me. I'm the truth. She has no idea who she is. That's why she's struggling. And then that struggle wants to roll over on you, so you struggle, and your generation struggles, and the next generation struggles. And you say, well, I'm like this because my parents were like this. That's a lie. Even in the natural, we got better sense than that. Come on, well, I just smoke pot because my parents smoke pot. Probably a good reason not to smoke pot. Crazy family environment, things all haywire, and you getting hurt and all broke up by it. Now you just go smoke pot because they smoke pot? Well, I just drink because my parents drank. Probably a good reason not to drink. I grew up, my dad was drinking. I said, I ain't drinking. If that's what it's going to do to you, I ain't drinking. So all my friends were drinking. I said, I ain't drinking. Come on, just common sense can tell you that. But we're looking for an excuse in the flesh because we're hurt and we're all bruised up and beat up. And then when we look in the mirror, it's all shambles. So when we look at each other, we ain't got no clear view. That's why it's so easy to like people in a first impression and already cut people off before you even know them. You just don't like the look about them. You just heard them laughing. That laugh just rubbed you wrong. You see how damaged we get? You get in a room, you can't even see the value in the room. You think you got it all assessed, but your assessment is in darkness. And they're all worth the blood of Jesus. And the blood is speaking a better thing over every one of them. And all you can see is what's wrong with them. Because that's how you see yourself. It's true. And we call it normal first impressions. We want to leave a first good first impression. I am not under the pressure to leave a good first impression. Because God ain't having no first impression. He just knows me from the beginning. And I'm under the pressure to win your first impression? No, that just means you're living in darkness. Because if you were living in the light, it wouldn't even be no first impression except for I already know who you are, whether you know or not, and you're worthy of the kingdom and the blood was shed for you. If you don't believe this, how are you going to love people in your life? How are you going to walk in the light? How are you going to walk in grace? You're going to avoid people that rub you wrong. You're going to say, Pastor, you're telling me that people don't get under your skin? I got new skin. People don't get on your nerves? Try to run that by God. God, do people get on your nerves? I'm sure I got on the God's nerves a bunch of times. People will say that because you were taught that. Oh, you just made God mad. But because you're living that way, somehow we think he's that way. Could you picture that? How could we approach him if you get on his nerves? He loves you. But when you believe this crazy stuff, we'll continue to live this way. So then we qualify it. We justify it. But he ain't like that. So if he ain't like that, why is it okay for us to be like that if we're made for his image? If he said, walk in the light as he's in the light, what's that mean? 1 John 2, I could show you if we turn there. It says, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. 1 John 4:17. Here's how we know love's perfected. We have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Why? Because as he is, so are we right now in this world. The whole chapter, he is love, he is love, he is love. And if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? 1 John 2, he who's perfected in love has no cause to stumble because of his brother. 99% of counseling appointments are people struggling with people. It proves that we don't understand the gospel. We don't even realize why he's in us. And we still have issues and attitude that's detrimental to what he's pursuing. That's why he says you're either for me or against me. We think he's talking about the saved / unsaved. You can see your need for a savior. You can actually be convicted of your sin and believe he died on the cross and his blood is speaking a better thing and never get on board. And run with the why, and never walk in love, never show mercy, and never make peace. You can still keep a bad attitude. You can still be issue-driven. You can walk in offense, and you can live in unforgiveness and actually believe you have a need for a Savior and not live in the salvation of that Savior. And all of a sudden, you're not for him. You're actually working against him, even though you're in the house. And that what happens in families. People go against the grain. House divided can't stand. So you got to teach your children family from little up. I didn't know that before because I wasn't saved. But boy, I know it now. You got to teach your family from little up. You got to teach them kids from little up that they're a part of something, that they belong, that they're valued. They're not your servants, and they're not there to fulfill your dreams, and you're not finding your identity through your children, so they're not set up to crush and break your heart. No child deserves that kind of pressure. Come on, you're here to manifest Christ. You're here to be free. No matter what people choose, decide, you're here to just walk in love and to shine as a light, period. And if you let anything matter more than what matters most, you're going to be deceived. And you're going to think life's a grind instead of a gift. And when you stand before him, you'll find you didn't live it by faith. You lived it by facts. And you let the facts dictate your motive, your purpose, and your reason for being. And you didn't let Christ decide that. Come on. Life, guys, it's this little window. What was it, Pam? She said, my nephew, or who was it, your grandson? Yeah, he was 11, now he's 20. And you said, where's time go? How'd that happen? I mean, the last time I was at her house, he was 11, now he's 20. And I'm like, that's a wow. Because I'm thinking, it doesn't seem like that long ago that I was at your house. It feels like way less than that. Who knows what I'm saying? Time is floating, man. Pew, and it ain't slowing down. I mean, it's 9:40. Time is rolling, man. And down here, you just don't seem to care that it's rolling. At least that time. But what I'm saying is, nobody's getting younger. Time ain't slowing down, and you can't back up and fix things. You grab revelation along the way. You make the most of the moment. You have the present and things to come. The present and things to come. Come on, you got to get this. You got the present and things to come. You can't live in the past. You can't go back and fix it. You can't go back and change a thing, but you can change. You can change. You can't change a thing. You can change. You can't make up for lost time, but you can redeem the time you have. You got present things to come. Present things to come. Why? He bought out your past. He bought it out. It's never on the list. The only thing on the list is present and things to come. Present and things to come. And see, so it's not surprising that a large percentage of the body of Christ is living in their past. It's a deception from hell. It's a deception of the devil. You got to get in your present and things to come. Why? Because time is rolling. It's ticking. And you got this little window called life, and it's a gift, not a dread. It's a gift, not a chore. It's a gift. Well, I never asked to be born. You are just not wrapping faith around the truth, see? That's that self-centered thing, and you're still weighing your life by your life instead of weighing your life by him. Because if you'd see it for what it really is, whew, we'd rejoice, people. That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Come on, don't get offended. Religion will get offended at this, but look. The same spirit that raised Christ, that is a bad dude. The spirit of the Lord. Just strolling into the realm of darkness and death. He didn't have Michael and Gabriel in a walkie-talkie back around, come in the south gate. Hey, you come in from the north. If I get too much pressure, come in on this side. It ain't some movie and some pressure. One spirit, holy, walked into darkness and the place fell to the ground. Lit up, and he took Jesus and he raised him from the dead. Death having no dominion over him. And he took the keys with him of death, hell, and the grave. One spirit, one spirit. And he's holy. That spirit wants to live in you and quicken your mortal body. Don't you turn this into bless me, protect me, provide for me, and wah if it doesn't happen that way. You understand the Spirit of God is in you. And he's the head. And he's far above all power and all principality. That's why you never fear again, because you're not living for you. You're living for his great name. You don't fear. It ain't about your circumstances. It ain't about your money. It's about what are you doing in the moment with what you believe. And the just shall live by faith. And we don't draw back to destruction. We believe moving forward to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10, it's there. I got to wrap this up. I got to read this for some reason. It's making sense now. I preached myself right into it making sense now. I'm finally ready to go there now. Woo! Do you see why Jesus said in all you're getting? He didn't say in all you're getting, get more blessing. People spend time praying for blessing. When it's just all in his nature. Why would you spend a moment praying for blessing? If you believe the gospel, you're blessed more than you can measure. If you actually believe you're forgiven, if you actually believe that you're dead to you and alive unto him, you actually believe that his love will never fail, that no one will ever snatch you out of the palm of his hand, that when he sees you, he sees clean, pure, holy, blameless, above reproach. That's what in his sight, Colossians 1. Do you know how many people spend weeks and months and years going to church and never believe holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight? Well, I just feel bad. Ah! Sorry, I'm falling apart, ain't I? It's Redemption House. I'm always at my best here. They hand you a mic at 8:55. You're going to preach. Good. Look, you're going to help this brother. Spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, if you minister in the kingdom, if you see men for the kingdom, you're not going to be drawn into what they're captured by. You're going to have a grace to pull them out because you have something to deliver them to. You're not just trying to get them to stop. You're transferring them from the kingdom of darkness to light. Acts from the power of Satan to the power of God. See, we've made the gospel all about going to heaven instead of getting out of the power of darkness into light. We made it all about a bus picking us up when the trumpet blows and we got to be on the right side. And we're praying a prayer so our names are in the book called life so that when the trumpet blows, hey, at least I prayed that prayer, remember? And for years you've been hurt and offended and in unforgiveness. You ain't been shining and living by the influence of Christ. Now, I'm not saying you ain't going to heaven when that day comes, but what legacy are we going to take in there? What are we going to do with the talents he handed us? He gives you his kingdom. He says, David, here's my kingdom. He says, Charlie, here's my spirit, and in my spirit is my nature. I'm going to entrust that to you. I'm giving you a stewardship of my nature, Charlie. Now you got one life to show me what you're going to do with it. And the just shall live by. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been going through, and it's a hard road, and you're putting all this pressure on me now, and you haven't even known my story. You see what we do? And you can't even hear the truth because you're too busy yell button, yell button, yell button. So when you stand before him, it's going to be all about your story instead of his great name. But when you look into the light and glory of who he is, you're just going to go, oops, and realize I was deceived the whole time. I let things matter more than what mattered most. I believed a lie. I felt sorry for myself instead of dead to myself. How can you feel sorry for yourself if you're dead to yourself? If you deny yourself, how can you feel sorry for what's denied? Wow. Boy, that just sounds like psychological genius. That was good. It's just the Spirit of God helping everybody understand. See, if you just pray a prayer to go to heaven, you might not have denied yourself. But if you heard the gospel, then you denied yourself. That's what water baptism is all about tomorrow. People are going to die so they can live. You can't live until you die. You got to die to be able to live. Or you're incorporating the knowledge of Jesus into your life. Now you know what he said, but you haven't become what he paid for. And then knowledge puffs you up. But love edifies. And now everything that you do that's Christian takes the place of knowing him and becoming more like him. So that's how people get into works. And then you wear your service as a badge. And then you're never really free because you never feel like you're doing good enough. And you weigh yourself by yourself. You take your own tests and grade your own scores. Up. I've had this burden. I've carried this burden for a long time, brother. I've been bearing this burden. You're supposed to bear the burden of another. Somebody should have been holding this for me the whole time. No. See, I'm getting there. Verse 2. See, they didn't know. I didn't read it yet. Bear one another's burden. And so fill the law of Christ. What? Why? Bearing another's burden is filling the law of Christ. Why? Selfless. Considering others. Now, you be honest with me. The average Christian mindset in this country is consumed with thinking for themselves. And they'll pray for you, and they'll write their, you'll write your prayer request on their list. But man, they want their stuff. They want their favor, blessing, protection, their breakthrough. I don't even know what that means. The stone's rolled away. My sins are forgiven, and the Spirit of God's inside of me. Wait, I'm just waiting for my breakthrough. What? Maybe just believe? I'm really not, but we can hold a whole conference on breakthrough. People be up and shout, hey, your breakthrough is coming. And I'm telling you right now, your breakthrough is coming. People go, ah! They be falling out. Ah! Everybody say, man, God, move. We about ready to get breakthrough. I'm like, no, you wasted a whole weekend talking about what already is. And you ain't believed the gospel. But we sure did service. We had church. And so-and-so sweated heavy. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not messing up too bad. But I still ain't never figured in 27 years. I ain't figured out what that breakthrough thing you're waiting on. That stone rolled away. Okay, I gotta finish. It's almost 10. You're just oblivious, aren't you? No, I gotta finish for the visitors. There's visitors here. I just realized there's visitors. Oh, Lord Jesus. One of them must have been praying, please, God, have them consider me. See, I gotta bear one another's burden, fulfill the law of Christ. Watch this. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That's just meaning thinking for yourself, in yourself, through yourself, by yourself, for yourself. You know, the people, oh, don't get tricked into this. People really do want to be noticed. If you were complete in Christ, fulfilled in Christ, you wouldn't even know what that means to be noticed. It's the last thing you want Christ to be seen in everything you do. You don't need anybody to say you're awesome. You're so amazing. Oh, I so appreciate you. See, when you need to hear that, it's not even cool to hear it. Because it feeds the sickness. It's just like doing a hit when you're addicted. It's feeding an addiction. You know, people say to me all the time, oh, you're awesome. I got so much. I'm not doing it to hear that. Are you with me? But if you need to hear that, they say, oh, you're awesome. And you say, what'd you say? And you heard them. What'd you say? Oh, no. I said, you're just so awesome. Mm. 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 Oh. Thank you, brother. Oh, it's all the Lord. It's the Lord. Well, you're not that awesome. I'm sorry. It's late. We gotta keep you amused. I don't know. No. Watch this. We gotta get somewhere. But let each one. Now he's talking to the room. Let each one. Talking to everybody. Oh, you hear how quiet and serious everybody got? You feel that? Shoot, that's good. See, that's that laughing gas. Like, we just give you a little mask, and then cut your heart out, trim it, put it back in and sew it, and you don't even know you had surgery. Like, you didn't even feel the pain, you didn't see blood loss, but man, you've been cut. Like, you've been cut like 10, 15 times already, deep. Like, when I go to bed tonight, that knife of the spirit, it's got so much blood and flesh and tissue on it, and you sitting there, and you're like, oh, are you bleeding? let each one Let each one examine his own works, not another's. Do you know how many people are caught up nowadays? Just in a spirit of disagreement, critical eye, critical spirit. They just listen and listen and listen and for something they don't agree with, something they can write 4 or 5 pages about. And then when you interpret it, it ain't even what the man was trying to say, so your 4 pages aren't even built on nothing. We'll do a whole lot better if we examine ourselves and our own work, and not the work of another man. Examine your own work. See, the measure you judge is the measure you'll be judged. Don't forget that stuff. This is critical. It's like he's merciful, so we're merciful. He's not merciful so you obtain mercy alone. He's merciful so you're so overwhelmed by it, you become the same thing. You're forgiven, you become forgiveness. The man that was forgiven and didn't become forgiveness was called an evil and wicked servant and was bound and tormented, living in outer darkness. A servant of the house. Soulically vexed because he was positioning his heart outside of where God lives. So he was outside. He was forgiven of everything he's ever done and owed. And then he didn't forgive his brother. He was called an evil and wicked servant. Not Gentile. House. In the house. And he was bound hand and foot and cast into darkness. Tormented. It's a state of the soul. Unforgiveness is a separation from God in the soul. Unforgiveness is living where he never is. Why is it so wretched? Because unforgiveness keeps the offense alive. Forgiveness renders it as if it never happened. God doesn't rule his kingdom in rightness. That would make us wrong. He rules it in righteousness. The difference between rightness and righteousness makes wrong things right. Come on, you got to get this stuff. Or it's just, well, he said, well, they should have never. Well, I wouldn't have did it if they didn't. Well, wait, if God lived that way for one day, we'd have no hope. But he came in righteousness. He said, permit it now, John, baptize me so all righteousness can be fulfilled. And here's Jesus walking out the law, walking out all 630 whatever laws, and he's walking it out as a man, complete and perfect, empowered by God's Spirit. He says, baptize me so all righteousness can be fulfilled. And he ministers and he dies and he raises from the dead. Spotless, holy, innocent blood, speaking better things on behalf of men. That's incredible. And he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it. Some people don't understand what he said. Well, I didn't come to take away the law. I came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. And now we're saved by grace through faith, believing it. And Paul got beat and whipped and stoned for preaching that. Who do you think was contesting that message, man? I think it was a little deeper than that. Let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. So there's a couple of deceptions. You know, you can just get behind somebody and support them and just, woo, they're so-and-so's this. Oh, my pastor, you ought to, he's the best. Oh, well, yeah, but I got pretty good. Oh, yeah, you ain't never heard my pastor preach, though. You know, people, they'll just talk like that. They'll rejoice in the work of another, and they'll find their identity in rejoicing through another. He said, listen, we're all going to stand. Each one of us need this. We're all going to stand before him someday, guys. And we're going to answer for this one little window called life. I wonder if you spent 20 years of it after you were saved, believing wrong things, wrong attitudes, wrong motives, and letting people hurt you, being offended and being insecure. Trying to fit in, and somebody didn't appreciate your extra service. And now this ain't a loving church because I did this and I did this and now you're hurt. And I sit beside people in airplanes and they got these stories. It's crazy. I'm like, do all I ever do is sit beside somebody that had a bad church experience? Well, I used to go to church. Well, I used to go to church. I used to go to church. So what happened? So you had some kind of experience? Yeah. And then I talked to him about the relationship and intimacy with God. And a relationship with God, and how when they don't go to church and they let their heart get hurt, then it usually always 100% cuts them off this way, and they don't have any intimacy or relationships, and now they just have a hard hurt heart and memory towards church, but they don't have any relationship with a knowing or loving God. And I bring that up individually to each one in its own way. In the Holy Ghost, it's amazing how you can have somebody crying in 5 minutes when you convict their heart of that, because they realize their heart's hard and they're hiding behind a language. But they're outside of fellowship with God. And their heart knows it. And when you call them on an airplane, they'll cry right on an airplane. It's good, get them crying on an airplane. Let each one examine his own work, not the word of another, for each shall bear his own load. So look, the law of Christ is help each other with their burdens. But we're all walking out our own life. That's all he's saying. You're each going to carry your own load. You all have the will of God concerning your life to answer for. You're all going to answer what you've done in your body, whether good or bad. Just, you're not saved by that, but you're going to answer for that. That's called legacy. That's called bringing glory to God. Wouldn't it be amazing in the end? I don't know what it's going to look like. None of us know. But wouldn't it be amazing if there's a sea of multitude of people and we're just worshiping Jesus, worshiping God. We're right there. I mean, it's like, you don't even need, you just, right? And all of a sudden, God just slips his big old hand down under David and lifts him up and says, this is my son, David. And everybody's, whoa! And then God testifies of David. There was a time in his life when, and then there was a time and he was faced with, and he could have this, and this, but he put his trust in me, his faith in me. He didn't let hurt enter into his heart. He overcame it with good, and boom, boom, boom. And he just starts tracking his life, how he believed, every time he believed, every time he had other options, every time he believed. And by the end of that testimony, we're just, Jesus! Like for a million years, overwhelmed. And he slides his big old hand under somebody else. Says, this is my servant, Kim. And he just goes on with the testimony. Phew. But wonder if you didn't live by faith. Wonder if you believed the lie. Wonder if you left your heart get hurt. Wonder if the rest of your life, you lived with that pain and it always came out of your mouth when you met new people. You see what I'm saying? Come on, guys. Don't get tricked. Don't get trapped. Don't let the little foxes sneak into the vineyard and snatch the precious fruit that wants to hang all over that vine. It's called your life. Each carries his own load. Everyone will answer for his own life. And you ain't going to say, well, if it wasn't for my spouse. So you're going to believe your spouse more than Jesus. You're going to believe pain more than love. You're going to believe insecurity more than fullness. See, when you stand in the light of the glory of who he is and all truths revealed and everything's exposed and all darkness is blown out of the water, you ain't even going to be able to make the comment. Well, I'd believe in you if it wasn't for my spouse. You already know you can't even say that. You're already going to be, oops. And when I'm teaching that out, you know that's true. So if it ain't going to work then, why would you let it buy time now? Let whom has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now watch this. Uh-oh. I think this is where we need to be. Do not be deceived. Oh my goodness, if the Lord's going to be loving enough and sober enough to write that. He talks about sexual immorality. He says, do not be deceived. And he talks about sexual immorality. Another place he says, let no one cheat you with empty words. Well, but God knows we have feelings and sometimes we get lonely. I mean, he knows we ain't perfect and sometimes you just need something. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, then that he also will reap. Now watch this. For he who sows to his flesh, guys, that doesn't have to mean adultery, fornication, and sinful stuff. Just sow into your flesh. Needy, wanting, accolade, identity, favor from men instead of God. Just stuff, surface stuff. Just sowing into your flesh. Doing things to be noticed. Serving in the ministry to be appreciated instead of to love the body. Just serving in the ministry to just be appreciated. To feel useful. Instead of to lay down your life to help the cause and run a race worthy of a prize. To co-labor with others to get this thing accomplished. I'm in it. Come hell or high water, appreciation or not, I'm all in. You know how many people have gotten hurt in church serving in ministries? Not getting the accolade they were looking for? They should have never been in that thing in the first place. And then we have to have leader meetings to teach our leaders how to make sure we value and keep our people encouraged. You get a right motive, you're always encouraged. I am not here to minister to a wrong motive. I'm not here to try to make you feel better when all you want is somebody to say something good to you because you need to hear it because you don't see who you are in Christ. I'd rather pull you aside and teach you who you are in Christ. I'm not going to empower that thing. I've been in those leadership meetings. Make sure you keep the people encouraged. Make sure you let them know how much you appreciate them. It sounds so good on the surface. But he's my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're wanting that stuff, it's unhealthy. And then if you don't get it, you're going to step down and leave the church with a bitter taste. And the next church you go to, you're talking about that church and how they weren't loving. You say, that wasn't a loving. It should have been a loving church. You were there for 2 years. But it was all about you. And how you feel and what you ain't getting. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And if he sows to his flesh, watch this. He will of the flesh reap corrupt. Watch. Has nothing to do with the will of God. You hear that quiet. It's a law of sowing and reaping. We have the sovereignty of God blown so out of proportion. And we got the will of God so butchered. And we think everything that happens is what God's intending. He says, if you sow into your flesh of your own seed, flesh, you will reap corruption. Has nothing to do with the will of God and the intent of God for you. Has nothing to do with why are you letting this happen to me, God? Why didn't you intervene and protect me, God? He said, no, the just live by faith. And whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And if he sows into his flesh of the flesh, because that power is in the seed. Each seed after its own. It's a law. It's the first law in your Bible. Seed time and harvest time. Well, everything that's happening is the will of God. No. Power of death and life is in your tongue. Reap and sow. Don't fear. Watch and pray. All kinds of stuff the Lord's commissioned us to do. And how much have we really lived that stuff? And then when stuff happens, it's just all God. It's all God. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say my people are destroyed for the administrative decision of God. Because I know the big picture, and in my extreme wisdom, don't try to figure me out because I'm way bigger than you. I make decisions. That's how we preach him. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Which means if we get to knowledge, we can stop destruction. It had nothing to do with the will of God. Is God's desire that all men are saved and filled with the knowledge of truth? Is every man saved and is every man filled with the knowledge of truth? That's strange. Wonder why. It's God's desire. You think he'd be big enough to bring it to pass? There's a messed up sovereignty empty message out there. It's not from God. And he's putting everything on him. So he took our children, and he chose our spouse to die, and he even gave him the sickness that caused him to die in his deep, mysterious plan. And when you believe that stuff, it takes the fight out of faith. It takes the sword out of the sheath and throws it in the dirt. It takes off your armor, your shield, your righteousness. And whatever will be, will be. You know you heard que sera, sera, didn't you? Whatever will be, will be. What a lie from hell. See, Satan would love to take the sword out of your hand. He'd love to take faith out of your lips, your heart, and your understanding. He'd love to diffuse the power of the name of Jesus in the finished work of the cross. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go in my name. And he hands you the baton. He would love to diffuse that and get you to just do church. Get caught up in life instead of the giver of it, and walk in authority and fear nothing. You do realize what you fear, you have no authority over. You can still quote scripture at it. That's what we do a lot. And then when it doesn't happen, we wonder why and challenge God at the truth of his word and demand and put a demand on his word. And the whole time we're praying is because we're afraid. I've learned as a pastor over the years, it's a tough topic to talk about, but it should be easier. But people like get taken back and then they feel guilty and regretful. A majority of the time we pray is because we're moved with fear and concern. It has very little to do with faith and decreeing and seeing an answer. It's almost always stirred by worry, fear, danger. You'd be amazed how different our prayer lives would work if we had no fear. Right. Our prayer lives would look so different. It would be praying for all men, authority, decreeing, declaring. It would be totally different. It wouldn't be a big needs list. A lot of it would be, wow, I sure thank you, Father, for, I thank you, wow, God. See, you read an article and this causes cancer and you think, man, I put that in my body for the last 25 years and now you're up at the altar asking somebody to pray some cleansing prayer over you. Why? Because the natural knowledge of the article put a natural fear in you that you might be part of that article instead of you're in covenant with God. And wow, so thank you for Mark 16. If I eat any deadly thing, it's not going to harm me. And wow, what would I do if I didn't have covenant? I'd probably be in the world and of it. I'm so sorry it's this late. I really am. For he who sows into the flesh of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows, this is good. See, he doesn't just leave us with a problem. He gives us an answer. He who sows into the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now look at this, verse 9. And let us, now this shouldn't be hard for us. Here's why this shouldn't be hard for us. We're not alive. We died. We're not alive. We died. Our lives are not our own. We're bought with the blood. We don't seek our own. We seek what is Christ, right? Right? If we live because he died, then we who live should no longer live for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5. Come on. It's all through scripture. So let us not grow weary while doing good. One of the biggest challenges in your life is to try something coming to try to talk you out of faith and living Christ. Just using Christ to get by. Survival mode. So many people come to God because their life's in trouble. And they're just hoping he helps them get through. My marriage is hurting, so I'm reading my Bible for the first time in 2 years because I don't want to get divorced. So I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church because I just got laid off. Now, some of these things can draw you to him. But you're not going to somewhere that motive's got to clean up. The why you're coming to him ain't just to fix the things that are broke. He wants your life. Because he made you for him to live through you. Yeah? Come on, he made you for him to live through you. It's the only reason you're on the planet is to be found in his image. Let us make man for our image. And that's what he did. And that got lost through sin. He took care of sin to get us back to that. It's that simple. Nobody ever preached the gospel to me like that growing up. They just made me feel like I was sinning. I'm always going to sin, but I'll always be forgiven. So take heart, but I'm a hopefully forgiven sinner. Whoa, that was encouraging. All it does is give you permission to keep sowing into the flesh. And then of the flesh, you keep reaping corruption and you think it's the way it is. And the devil loves when the church believes that. So let us not grow weary, church. This is the whole thing right here. I said a lot to get to this, but this is what, come on, don't even have this option in your heart. Growing weary while doing good. Well, I'm just tired. Stop. Don't even tell yourself you believe that. Is this fair? If I keep my heart seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and it's not about me, can I be discouraged? Can I be tired? Can I be disheartened? Can I give up? If it's not about me at all, and it's all about him and his great name, and I'm just living my life for his kingdom, how can I be discouraged in that place? Be honest with me. He's given us everything we need to walk what he's calling us to. Because to tell people you can live without discouragement sounds like way out there, high-minded preaching. Hebrews 12:3, consider him. Who are we following? Who authored our faith? Who are we going to look to finish our faith? Okay, consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, lest you be weary and discouraged in your soul. Keep your eyes on Jesus unless you start believing you have a reason to give up. What's he saying? Discouragement is totally unscriptural and it's never Christian. Let's stop calling it normal. That'd be like Jesus just giving up. Well, you know, people just don't want to hear what I got to say. You know, God, you're not helping. You're letting me hear all their thoughts. Their thoughts are not encouraging. And day in and day out and day in and day out, how much can even love take, man? I mean, I multiply their food and they could care less about what I'm saying. They just come and hunt me down because they want more food. Man, these people are self-centered. Are you sure we even love them? Come on. He does a miracle and it's the devil. He speaks and it's wrong in their eyes. And they're constantly contesting him and trying to trick and trap him in everything he's saying. And all he's doing is good the whole time. He's healing, something wrong with it. He's delivering, something wrong with it. Come on. People treated you like that for 3 days, you'd be ready to step down. Be real with me. And then it got really serious because they started hitting him and hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. So they marred him so bad that scripturally it says you couldn't tell who he was. That's pretty serious. And he just let him keep hitting him. The Son of God. Well, ain't nobody treating me like that. Well, I ain't gonna be nobody's doormat. Well, you ain't gonna. He's trying to make a fool out of me. Well, I ain't. You mess with me, you mess with the wrong person. Come on, we've had all that language, but we ain't never heard him say that. So where'd we learn that? Don't you, church? This is the word I close with. Way late. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Watch this. Wrap your faith around this. For in due season, we're going to reap if we don't lose heart. See, it's always there to reap. If we don't plant, it ain't going to grow. But once it grows, don't back out. Don't back out. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. We're going to see the kingdom of God manifest. We're going to see things bigger than we've seen if we'll just stay in this race. Just keep on loving. Keep on forgiving. Keep on moving forward. Keep on believing God. Right? And don't give yourself a right to live for yourself or think for yourself. I'm telling you, I don't know how to teach it It's the freest you'll ever be. The freest you'll ever be. We sing all these freedom songs. I don't even know if we really even have a clue what freedom really is. Freedom is you not living for you. You living for you is a big burden and a big bondage. You living for you is where anxiety, fear, frustration, offense, bitterness, anger, and all that stuff comes from. You living for you. You seek first his kingdom, all that stuff's erased. And now you just love people. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. Uh-oh. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of God or of faith. Fair enough? Said a lot to get to that one word. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. You're on the earth to walk in the light as he's in the light. I've said this for years. Mercy woke us up today to give us one more day to be more like him. Don't miss the why behind your day. And don't make it about all that's going on. Make it about the one that's in you, living through you. Make sense? So, Father, I just thank you for grace right now in our lives. I thank you for grace that empowers every word to just become life to us. God, I thank you that there's no one tonight that'll freely and easily just go back to what doesn't belong to them, their past. Present, things to come. Yeah, mark us with that right now. Present, things to come. Present, things to come. Father, if we learn from yesterday and get wiser because of yesterday, that's one thing. But let no one in this room have a detriment in their life because of yesterday. Let no one be hindered or limited because of yesterday. Present, things to come. I just thank you that there's just a resolve in hearts right now. I thank you that no one owes anyone anything. I thank you there's no way to make up for the past. I thank you, Father, that no one can say what they didn't say, do what they didn't do, or vice versa. Father, I thank you we can let it rest and have faith to just put it away. Present and things to come. And I ask this grace that no one in this room would be a casualty. No one would grow weary in well-doing. That no one would be found in that day unprepared with no oil in their lamps. God, I thank you. We are running like those virgins with oil in our lamps and those lamps well trimmed. God, I thank you we're lacking no good thing in Christ Jesus. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. David, did you want to jump up here and close out or something? Whatever you want to do, man.